If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Well, we've been doing a sermon series, as you know, for a long time, entitled A Faith That Works. A Faith That Works. Because we said, you know, to say I have a faith in kind of vague, nebulous terms doesn't really do much for us. A faith that doesn't work in the real world is of no value. But we have a faith in a living God, a faith that makes a difference, that works in the real world. And so that's what we've been talking about, different aspects of that kind of faith. And I have another aspect to share with you of a faith that works today. I want to share with you from 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll begin reading with verse number 8. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, and that's the prophet Elijah, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son so that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage today. Your word is truth. Your word is life. And so, God, speak to us now through the pages of your holy word. And may your word find lodging in our heart and application in our lives. For our good and for your glory, we pray. Amen. The title of my message today is Sustaining Faith. Sustaining Faith. You know, most, if not all of us, have at some time known what it's like to be in want to some degree, or to struggle a little bit financially, or maybe a lot in some cases. All of us, whether wealthy, poor, or in between, should know that whatever we have ultimately comes from God. In 1 Kings chapter 17, God uses a poor widow woman to demonstrate the kind of faith needed to believe God for divine provision, a sustaining faith, if you will. Now let's set the context here of 1 Kings 17. King Ahab, the most wicked king in Israel's history, and husband of Jezebel, who brought Baal worship from her homeland into Israel, was rebuked by the prophet Elijah. In chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah prophesies an absence of rain for several years, except at his word. He then flees to a brook near the Jordan from which he drinks and to which God sends ravens with bread and meat for him. He was on the run because Jezebel wanted to take his life. When the brook dries up, God sends him to this town, Zarephath, a coastal town in the territory ruled by Jezebel's father. God uses the widow there to provide for Elijah, but in the process, he performs a miracle for this widow woman. You know, we don't always need a miracle for our needs to be provided for. Usually, God gives us the opportunity to work for them. Of course, as I said, God is the one providing that opportunity, ultimately. But there are times when we work our hardest and we do our best, and through no fault of our own, we find ourselves struggling and wondering how we're going to make it, how our needs are going to be met. This morning, I want to encourage you. We are in a global pandemic, as you know, an economic downturn, although there are signs of a rebound, but a lot of folks are still affected by all that's gone on this year. But I want you to know that your God knows exactly what you need. And He will build within you, if you will let Him, a sustaining faith that will carry you through your time of struggle into the provision that God has for you. This morning, I want to look at this passage and answer the question in the next few minutes. What are the characteristics of a sustaining faith? The characteristics of a faith that will sustain you through difficult times. The first characteristic is this: sustaining faith refuses to give up during the hour of need. It refuses to give up during the hour of need. Elijah comes to the city gate of Zarephath. He sees this widow woman gathering sticks for a fire to make one last meal for her and her son. She was a widow, class of person in that day and age that was always at risk, and her financial resources were spent, and she's going to make this one last meager meal for her and her son. And here comes someone saying, "Hey, bring me some water and make me a meal. Give me a piece of bread. Make something for me." She says, "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she says, "I have no bread, but only this little flour and oil, and it's going to be our final meal." And Elijah's reply to her would change her life. Elijah's reply to her would bring about a miracle that she would never, ever forget. You see, she was tempted to give up. She was tempted just to say, "That's it. I've done all I can do. There's nothing else that can be done." But I want you to hear this quote, this anonymous quote that I came across. It says this: "When you have nothing left but God, then for the first time you become aware that God is enough." When you have nothing left but God, then for the first time you become aware that God is enough. What a powerful truth that is. You may feel like you've come to the end of your resources. You may feel like there's nothing that can be done for your situation. But I want you to know, if you're a child of the living God, you have enough. Because God is always enough. Now, there are times, you know, when we cause our own financial struggles through bad investments, purchases we shouldn't make. Sometimes we let others take advantage of us, or we just don't manage our finances well. That's on us. But there are times, such as in a global pandemic, for example, with an economic downturn, there are times, when situations arise that strain our resources, and we wonder how our needs are going to be met. But God knows exactly where you are today, child of God. And He knows every need that you have. And sometimes, as that quote says, it's only when we have no other resource do we realize that God is all the resource that we need. Listen to this scripture in Psalm 37:25. It says, "I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." What a powerful truth from God's word. I want you to remember this, if you remember nothing else of this message today. The greater your need, the greater will be the miracle God will perform on your behalf. Did you catch that? The greater your need, you may feel like, "Hey, I have this massive need." The greater your need, the greater the miracle God will perform on your behalf, because He's that kind of God. How many know that to be true? How many have experienced the gracious goodness of, Almighty God on your behalf. I know so many of you have. I know I have. So I want to challenge you today to allow God to build within you a sustaining faith that even during, thin financial times, even when there's more month than finances left at the end of your month, and you're wondering how your needs are going to be met, I want you to know that God is your resource, that God has not forgotten you. And the very worst thing you can do is give up. The very worst thing you can do is give in to despair. Allow God to build within you a sustaining faith that says, my God will supply my needs, and I'm going to trust in Him. No matter what things look like, I'm going to trust the Word of God that says, He is my supplier. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He will take care of me. And so the first characteristic of a sustaining faith is that it doesn't give up during an hour of need. This widow's situation looked bleak. And here's someone asking her for something that she didn't seem she had the power to give. It was the hour of need, but sustaining faith won't give up during the hour of need. What's the second characteristic of a sustaining faith that God wants to build in us? It's this. Sustaining faith is willing to risk an act of faith. It's willing to risk an act of faith. This is so important. I want you to catch this. Elijah's instructions to the woman here in verses 13 through 15, he told her, don't be afraid that she could make the meal for her son and herself, but first to make a cake of bread for him. This was to test her faith. You see, he didn't say, well, go ahead and make a meal for your last meal for your son and yourself, and if there's something left over, make it for me. No, he said, first, make a meal for me. Now, why was Elijah saying that? Well, you know, he had self-interest. He just wanted to make sure before it was gone, he got some for himself. That wasn't the reason at all. He was being directed by Almighty God. And so this was a test of her faith. He said, make the meal for me and trust God. And the Lord's promise, we see this in verse 14, he says that the flour nor the oil would run out during the length of the entire famine if she was obedient and would take this act of faith. So what did she do? She had a choice. Like you and I have a choice during an hour of need. Her choice was to do what she thought to do in her human wisdom, is to take the little bit that's left and make it for her and her son. Or her choice was to trust the word of the man of God and take an act of faith that seemingly didn't make sense. What did she do? She chose the latter. She did what Elijah told her to do, realizing that if Elijah was wrong, she would be giving away her last meal. Yet she didn't hesitate to obey God and take the act of faith. What a powerful lesson for you and for me. I heard a story of a man who was crossing the desert in the days of the pioneers. And his water gave out. He hadn't had something to drink for a long time, and he felt like he was dying of thirst, and just then he spotted a water pump near an abandoned shack. And he noticed next to the jug, next to the pump, a jug of water with a sign telling him to use the water in the jug to prime the pump, and then to pump water out of the pump, and when he was done getting all he wanted, to refill the jug so the next person could prime the pump. You see the choice that this man would have, the same type of choice that this widow had in Zarephath. He's dying of thirst. There's a jug of water. Why not drink it? But that was a finite amount of water. If he'd primed the pump, he would have a great supply of water. But it was an act of faith, right? When you're thirsty, to pour that water in to prime the pump, trusting that pump would work. And many times God has us do an act of faith. There are a number of examples of this in Scripture. You remember Naaman when he had leprosy, and he came to the prophet, and God sent word from the prophet through his servant that he was to go and dip in the Jordan River, a filthy, dirty Jordan River, seven times. And so he did that eventually. He wasn't going to. And he did that, and he was healed of his leprosy. And there are other examples of people doing an act of faith. You know, in the middle of our hour of need, God still expects us to do the right thing. God will often ask you and me to commit an act of faith. I think one of the biggest acts of faith, if you're struggling financially, is to give the Lord the tithe, the tenth. We believe in tithing. We believe in giving God the first tenth off the top of our income. And God said in Malachi that if we would be faithful in giving that to him and offerings besides, but specifically the tithe, that he would throw open the windows of heaven and would bless us. But you know, when you're struggling financially, and I've talked to a lot of people, some people have never been taught the concept of tithing or haven't internalized it. Others used to tithe, but money got tight, and so they stopped. And you know, in the natural, you say, hey, if I'm struggling on 100% of my income, you know, being left with 90% because I tithe 10% to God, that's just going to make it worse. You know, it's like the same thing. Why pour that water in the pump to prime it when I'm getting rid of all the water that I need? But you see, when we give God the tithe, we are committing an act of faith. We are saying, God, I am going to honor you by obeying your word. And tithing is reaffirmed in the New Testament as well. I am going to obey your word, and I'm going to trust you to supply what I need. And, you know, if you're here in the congregation today, of course, I'm not there, but, you know, raise your hands if you have found this to be true, that when you give God his tithe and you give God what's his, that he more than makes up for it and blesses you. And by faith, I see hands being raised today. You know, there may be other acts of faith. You may be struggling, and God may speak to you to give something to someone in need. Maybe the last $20 bill that's in your pocket. God would say, I'm not saying just do this willy-nilly, but God may test your faith and say, hey, give this to someone in need. And if you do, God may bless you abundantly because of the act of faith. I remember in the Bible, the widow who gave two mites, two small coins, and Jesus commended her because she gave all she had. You see, in our hour of need, God promises to take care of us if we will obey him and give him what's his. Do we trust him enough to do that today? Are you willing to take an act, to commit an act of faith in the hour of your need? God provides for those who are obedient to him. Will you and I be obedient and take an act of faith? Sustaining faith is willing to take that act of faith during the hour of need. What's the third characteristic of sustaining faith? It's this: it is rewarded with provision from God. It's rewarded with provision from God. In response to the widow's act of faith, God fulfilled his promise by not allowing the flour or oil to run out during the entire length of that famine. So he blessed Elijah, he blessed the widow and her son. And the irony was that this non-Israelite had food from God while there was a famine in the land of unfaithful Israel at that time. Sustaining faith is rewarded with provision from God. God comes through. Amen? You know, when starting Harvest Church, my wife and I left a staff position at a large church here in Northern Virginia. Many of you have heard this story or were with us then. A few of you were. We left a steady income and a secure position because God had spoken to our hearts and told us to plant a church at that time in Mount Vernon. When we started out, we had a handful of people with us. We met in the back of a carpet store, and that was 28 and a half years ago. And God has supplied every need. You can tell by looking at me, I don't miss meals. God has been faithful to my family and me. God has been faithful to Harvest Church. God has provided for our needs. And sometimes I've been amazed over the years at how. But God has supplied our needs. When we were faithful to obey Him and to launch out and to trust Him, we were rewarded with provision from God. I remember a few years ago, our washing machine stopped working. And we were going to either have to get it repaired or replace it. You know, with some appliances, you question, do you want to put the money into repairing or replacing it, depending on its age. And right about that time, before we had taken action, I came across some papers that I had filed away. And in there was a warranty that I had forgotten that we had purchased that covered our washer and dryer. And we were still in the warranty period when the washer broke down. Didn't even know I had it. And was able to call and make a claim under that warranty and get that washer fixed for free. And, you know, sometimes our Christian life is like that. We have a warranty from God. We have a promise from God that He will supply our needs. And sometimes we're unaware. We forget. Well, we know it. We know what God says. We've heard the scriptures, but during our hour of need, we panic sometimes and we forget. We have a divine warranty today that God will reward our sustaining faith by providing for our needs. There's no limit to what He can do. He will see that your flour and oil, so to speak, do not run out. I love this scripture in Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Jesus said, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." If we seek God first, if we're willing to take an act of faith, we put Him first, we will be rewarded with provision from Almighty God in our hour of need. So I bring this message to a close today. Are you in a place where you need faith for divine provision? I'm here to tell you, God will meet your need. Listen to this scripture, Philippians 4:19. "My God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." I began this message by asking the question, what are the characteristics of a sustaining faith? We said, first of all, a sustaining faith refuses to give up during the hour of need. I want to encourage you today. Are you struggling? You're having a difficult time financially, having your needs met? Don't give up. Don't give in to despair. Your heavenly Father knows what your need is. A sustaining faith, secondly, is willing to risk an act of faith. What would God have you to do in your hour of need? Are you being faithful in giving Him the tithe, the tenth of your income? Say, "Pastor Tim, I'm struggling already. I don't know how I could do that." Trust God. This is the only area, we've said this before in Malachi, this is the only place in all of Scripture where God tells His people to test Him. He says, "Test me in this. If you're faithful in giving the tithe, if I won't throw up and open the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing you can't even contain." Will you put God to the test in this way? Will you test Him and take Him at His word? Be willing to commit. Maybe it's another act of faith God would have you to do. Sustaining faith is willing to commit an act of faith at the direction of Almighty God. And thirdly, sustaining faith is rewarded with provision from God. God will supply your needs. I guarantee it. If you're obedient, if you put Him first, if you do what He tells you to do, I guarantee He will supply your needs. Say, "Pastor Tim, how can you make that guarantee?" Oh, I'm not in the business of making guarantees, except I believe the Word of God. And God gives us that promise. God gives us that promise. I want to pray that God will give you a faith that will sustain you through tough times and will take you through, and that you will be rewarded with provision from His mighty hand.